It is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 16 to 26. And hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard. You will be handed over to local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by everyone because of me. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. Truly I tell you, you will not finish going through the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. The student is not above the teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for students to be like their teachers, and servants like their masters. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Prayer is so often focused on what we see around us. Prayer for our situation and where we are and our local things maybe. But today I want us to broaden that out somewhat to the church around the world that finds itself at odds with its governments and with other people in its countries. Just some startling statistics. I don't mean to upset you or anything by this, but just I'll give them to you. Because when I read some of this, I thought, whew! First one. Since the time of Jesus, 43 million Christians have been martyred. In the world today, over 245 million Christians worship regularly in the top... Oh dear,
sorry.
I'm in trouble now. I thought my number was up. 245 million Christians worship regularly in the top 50 countries ranked as the worst places in this world for persecution. Like all good things, we have a map on said table. And on said table are the 50 top countries ranked in terms of persecution. You'll find some red ones, some blue ones, and some green ones. And in those 50 countries, there are 245 million Christians worshipping. In those places, just 2 years ago, 4,136 Christians were killed for their faith. 1,266 churches were attacked. And 2,600 believers were detained, arrested, sentenced, or imprisoned. Many without trial. In China, amongst its 97 million Christians, there are churches closed by the authorities on a weekly basis. In China, there is CCTV surveillance of people going into the church and people coming out from the church. There are notices up on doors, and I kid you not, it says, "No children allowed." Teachers and medical workers are not allowed to have any religious affiliation. In Algeria, 14 of the 50 Protestant churches have been closed. Blasphemy laws mean that Christians cannot talk about their faith, even in quiet conversation with family or friends. In Egypt, Sharia law is the main source of legislation, and mobs attack the Christian churches. In Eritrea last year, 150 Christians were arrested and disappeared. In Iran, Christians are arrested and jailed for acting against national security. In North Korea, the ruling Kims are worshipped and Christian teaching is threatening, and so Christians are arrested. Saudi Arabia bans the public practice of any non-Muslim religion. Christian meetings are therefore illegal, and those attending are punishable by death. This is our world now. If you want some up-to-date of that, on your, says he, not having one. Here it is. Yes, got it. Thank you. On this little piece of paper, you'll find some websites. If you really would like to know, have a look at some of those websites. I'm actually saying this. I'm indebted to Phil because he's actually tidied this up for me. I'm not very good with things like this, but he tidied it up. And there is listed, I think, 10 of them, are various organizations that have prayers and all sorts of other things on, and big information about what is happening to the Christians worldwide. This is all happening in our world right now. But there is one prayer they come up with. Every one of them, right across the spectrum of those being persecuted. And when I read it, I thought, oh, dear, dear, dear. That's not where our country is. Or maybe that's not where I am, is probably more correct. Their prayer is not that the persecution gets taken away. It's prayer for the right words to say. And the second part of it is boldness to say them. Oh, I thought. Oh. I could do with some of that in UK. That's their prayer. Their prayer, just like the apostles in the early church, was for boldness to speak. Paul, when he writes to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 6, he asks his fellow believers to pray for him that whenever he opens his mouth, words may be given him, so that he will fearlessly make known the gospel. It's quite a challenge to us, isn't it? Quite a challenge. In addition, Open Doors want us to pray for those abroad that they may find peace in their circumstances. Not for the persecution to be taken away, but for peace through it. And if that's not quite enough, I'm just sort of wanting to lie down at this point. The third one is that they pray that they would inspire those who seek to do them harm. What a lesson we have to learn from some of these things. We live in a very different society, don't we? We live in a world of declining church going and apathy. Angela and I went to India some years ago, and we met the Bishop of Kerala, I think it was, at the time. And he said to me, looked at me straight in the eye, and he said, all your churches must be full. You're a Christian country. 100% of your people go to church. And I looked at him and I said, if it's 5%, we've done really well. And he just stood there. In India, you have a faith of something. You, Muslim, Hindu, Christian. And when you convert to Christianity, you leave something behind. I met a man many years ago, as did Angela, on board ship. And he had become Christian. And for him, he had no more contact with family. Absolutely none. His family was on board ship, and he held church on board ship. But he couldn't contact mother, father, brothers or sisters. But how can we help them? Because I think we should. We live in a world which is quite safe and secure at the minute. But we are with them, surely. When we were looking at this, the topic that came out was prayer for the Christian church. And I'm thinking, that's not right. That cannot be right. Our prayer is with, not for. We pray with the persecuted church worldwide. We should not let them be forgotten. Some people find letter writing a way to communicate. Others supply Bibles. I've got a few minutes. Years ago, in Tilbury Dock, a ship from Burma came in. Myanmar it's called now, I think. And my friend, the missionary, he said, oh, we'll go down and have a look. So he went down onto the ship from Burma. And we got about a dozen Bibles in Burmese. So we handed out a dozen Bibles for Burmese, and there's more. They want more, 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 more. So we had to go to the British and Foreign Bible Society to get a whole load printed. We got another 50 done, and another ship came in from Burma, so a whole load more Bibles went out to Burma. And that wasn't enough, because the ships kept coming for about 3 years once a month. And we just kept flooding them with Bibles, you see, and they were lapping it up. Until one day, one of the crew, he said, do you know what you've done? I said, yeah, we've given you Bibles now, he said. You've allowed the church in Burma to operate. Burmese authorities will say there is complete religious freedom. But you can't go down the shop and buy a Bible. What we had done was to give a church a Bible through the crew of the ships that came into Tilbury. We didn't know that at the time. All they'd got and all they did was take a bit of the Bible each and just pass it round the churches. So some would have Isaiah, some would have Jeremiah, some would have a gospel, and when they'd done that, they'd pass it on. And then all of a sudden, they had a Bible each, and the authorities apparently were getting a little anxious about what happened in Tilbury and Essex. Some people supply Bibles, some people write to governments to apply pressure, others by giving legal expertise, some give money and some fight for justice. Yes, we can help, and I think we should help. And as we are at this current time, our first thing is to pray. And we're going to ask you to do that throughout the service and beyond today. I thought too that that's not the end of the story. In North Africa and the Middle East, places suffering great persecution, there are two people who train up 50 missionaries per year to directly go into places of persecution. every year. What a thing to do, isn't it? Once a week, one new church, one new missionary begins. And their job is to lead congregations, build fellowships, encourage prayer, and through preaching and gospel proclamation, for the word of God to grow in people's hearts. They're not looking to close down. They're not looking to skulk off round the corner. They see the gospel as up front, as real, as life-changing, not just for the here and now, but for eternity. There is hope and life just there. Jesus was well aware of persecution and its toll on people's faith. He knew what would happen, but he said, "Do not fear them. Do not fear. I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. You are to be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves." I have this fanaticism about the Greek language sometimes, so I looked up a word for harmless, because I thought, that's a bit odd, isn't it? Harmless as doves. Maybe it's a phrase we say, I don't know. Harmless is not the word, really, that should be there. It's more the word unmixed. That is to say, pure, innocent, blameless, without vice, without deceit. Harmless as doves is the way the Bible renders it. But I think what Jesus is saying here is to be unmixed with the world that I may live the life of Christ. Pure, untainted, real, and true. The church members of the persecuted church went up before the rulers and authorities, pray the prayer that resounds around the world, "Please, Lord, give me the right words to say and boldness to say them, and the life that I may be pure, blameless, holy, and true." The gospel of Christ goes out and it challenges and confronts, and people and states don't like it, for it upsets and challenges their way of life. Jesus said all this would happen. That's what he says in Matthew, in the gospel that we read. And so we can come and we can pray. We pray with them that their churches, their lives may be free and full. You see, I think we do pray with. And I want us to think of just three things, and then we'll stop. For us and for them, that we might have the right words and the boldness to speak out for Christ when called upon to do so. That we might be pure and innocent, blameless, unmixed with the world around us, holy. And pray for the growth of the gospel. And I think it's just as important in this country as it is abroad. To pray for the growth of the gospel and for those in authority and for and with the persecuted church, for those who seek to wish the Christians harm.